Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Yeah, anyways, you'll never know until I get a front row seat and watch Mothers in Action. But the other day, CC sent me this article, and it was an article that had like a series of all these tweets that give us a glimpse into the life of moms as a celebration of what moms do for us. So I have a snippet, a little sampling for your enjoyment here. So this one's from Miss Angela Davis. She says, successfully bought a piece of cake, hid it from my kids, and ate it in bed in peace, winning at motherhood. All right? This is pretty classic, where you hide treats so that your kids don't eat them, so that you can have them. Because 99% of the time, anyways. Here's Leslie Ardell. That moment when your baby's on your lap and you're bonding and you feel nothing but warm, fuzzy love. Oh, wait a second, it's pee. Hashtag motherhood. That's pretty classic, too. The RZA to you. Hashtag my best day in three words, not puked on. All right? Hashtag mom life. Here's another one. Sarcastic INTJ for all you Myers-Briggs guys out there. In the seventh layer of hell, everyone has to listen to my seven-year-old play a kazoo. Hashtag parenting fail. Hashtag FML. Hashtag INTJ. Hashtag mom life. If you don't know what FML is, ask Boaz. Don't ask me. A McCoy writes, she says, sometimes I type a heavily syllabic word and think, wow, look, I still know big words. And then I ask my infant if she went poopy. Hashtag mom life. Man, you guys are a quiet, dead crowd here. I'm trying to. Anyways, at Lex Perkins, I love my mom. Last but not least, here's a nice one to end this off here. I love being a mom because you can get unconditional love and your own personal heater / cuddle bug. All right, that's a glimpse into motherhood. All you moms out there, if you can stand with me, I'm going to pray for you guys and celebrate all you guys do. All the bodily fluids that you guys have to deal with, all the shenanigans and all the patience and everything. You guys are amazing. You guys are powerhouses of love and servanthood. Thank you so much for all you do. Let's pray together. Father, if you're around some of the moms, just stick your hand out point your hands towards raise your hands towards the moms out there. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the moms that we have. We thank you so much for the moms that you've blessed us with. We thank you so much for all they do, Lord. And I pray that this day that they would feel appreciated, that you would give us more and more love for moms, that you give us more and more appreciation for all they do, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that in the everyday mundane things of life, God, that their love just shines through in everything, God. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for them. And we pray that you would bless them this day. We bless them in their lives. We pray that they would be women of God, women after your own heart. We pray that, first and foremost, that they would just long to be with you and to seek you, Lord, and that they would draw strength to fulfill their roles as moms from you and your spirit, God. We pray that they would be lovers of you, Jesus, first and foremost. And we thank you so much, and I pray that they would be able to pass this on to us, this next generation, to their kids and their children and their children's children as well, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them with good health and with joy and fulfillment from being moms, Lord. And so we just want to bless them this morning. We just want to show them that we love them this morning, and we thank you for this day that we can honor them, Lord. And we pray that every day would be Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. We are in Mark 1 this morning, and last week Mike started us off talking about our core value of caring, which is the C in PGMBC, right? Because each of those letters corresponds to one of our core values. And as you already know, this is 35th anniversary. This year marks 35 years as an independent church in the Mennonite Brethren Conference of British Columbia. And as such, in all the different services, the Cantonese, the Mandarin, and here in the English, we are preaching through taking a year to preach through our five core values and spending a couple months in each one of them. And so Mike kicked us off last week talking about caring. And the reason why we care, and he was talking about, is because Jesus cares, right? The reason why we care is because Jesus cares. And everything is rooted in the gospel, right? Because the gospel tells us that Christ cared by healing people of their physical illness. He drove out demons, that he wept when his friend died, right? The Bible tells us this, that he was a friend of the worst of sinners, that he loved those who were sexually broken and liars and cheaters and rogues and thieves, all of them. He loved them. In other words, he cared for me. He cared for me. So I ought to care for others in the same way. I mean, this is the gospel that's passed on to me, so I get to pass that on to other people. And we know this, right? We've heard this before. We need to care for people. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse here too much, but we know this. But man, we got to do it, right? It's no point knowing something if we don't do it. And so we need to be creative in finding ways to care more, to care better, right, to love more. And so that's one part of it. We got to care because we follow Jesus who cared a lot. But the other part of it is this. In order to be caregivers, people need to be willing to be cared for, right? People need to be willing to be cared for. There's a give and take here. But there's a part of us, like, we're good Chinese people, we're good Asians, right? We're very hakei, right? And so we don't want to be an inconvenience to other people, right? We don't want to share our problems with other people. We don't want other people to be bothered with our problems. But look, if I'm hungry and if I'm famished and I'm dying from this, I need someone to give me food, right? How is someone going to know I need food unless I ask? I'm terminally ill and I need someone to help me and my family out, but no one knows I'm in a hospital. How are people going to care and help if I just keep it to myself and the people closest to me? So there's a give and take here. People need to be willing to care, and they need to be actively. People need to be on the lookout for people to care for who need care, who need needs met, right? But people also need to be willing to be cared for. That's what we're talking about this morning. So I'm going to read Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, and we'll get going from there. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved by pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. So, here's Jesus. Jesus is in Galilee preaching all throughout this region, which is in the northern part of Israel, right? And this leper comes to Jesus in the town, and it says that he was imploring him, he was kneeling to him. And now, this might not seem like such a big deal to us in our day, but back in the day, the fact that he even got this close to Jesus was a huge deal. The fact that Jesus was walking through this town and he was able to get into this town to get close enough to Jesus was a big deal, right? It's huge. Because back then, leprosy wasn't just a disease. It wasn't just like, oh, gross, I'm going to put on my Asian face mask, right, and walk around you, right? It was having leprosy was like being sentenced. It was a life sentence. You were sentenced to this way of life. So it wasn't just a disease. You didn't just have to deal with the physical suffering of having this disease, a skin disease of leprosy. Leviticus 13 tells us, in the Old Testament, the old law tells us this, that the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And so these guys, they had to make themselves look worse than they actually did, right? They had to wear their hair, let their head hang loose, wear worse clothing that they actually have, and they have to cover their mouths saying, and if someone comes close to them, within how many yards, they have to say, unclean, unclean, so that those people know that they can avoid you, all right? He shall remain unclean as long as he has this disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. I mean, the Bible isn't trying to be mean here. It's trying to protect the health of the greater community, right? In a time when skin diseases and contagious diseases like this, they didn't have any cures. So this is what the Bible and the old law is trying to do. But you know how people can be, right? You know how people can be. They'll take that and make it mean. They'll make it nasty, right? And so these lepers, what happens, what came about of this, these lepers weren't just people with a disease. These people were marked, right? They, like I said, they intentionally had to wear clothes. They had to intentionally tear their clothes and wear their hair messy and look worse than they actually were. They had to live outside the walls of the city, no contact with anyone, not with your family, not with your friends, you were all alone, completely alone by yourself, maybe with other lepers. There's this Jewish historian way back in the day named Josephus. He said that the lepers were treated in no way different from a corpse. So they were literally better off dead. So if you were a leper, you'd be sentenced to this life in the margins. No contact with anyone. It's like you'd have this restraining order on you, but you're supposed to stay away from everyone. Right? You cast aside, despised. You're better off dead. This guy's dirty. He's unclean. Get him out of here. I mean, for goodness sakes, don't touch him. Don't care for him. Don't let him touch you. Don't even look at him. You don't want to be unclean, do you? And so they had this life. This is the life they had to live. This was their place in society. So for this guy to come up to Jesus and get this close to Jesus and implore him and kneel in front of Jesus, this was huge. Now, first of all, he was breaking all kinds of rules, right? Like legally and socially, all these social customs, they were breaking these things. By coming up to Jesus, he was risking making Jesus himself unclean and anyone he was close to. By just being in close proximity to Jesus, he ran the risk of that. Like, you just don't do that back in the day. There are some rabbinical writings that say that if a leprous man was standing under the shade of a tree, and you and a clean man was walking, and he crossed, and they were shared the same shadow of the tree, that man walking across would be unclean, right? This is how finicky these laws were, right? Secondly, like, you just don't do that. You don't do that. Secondly, he ran the risk of this. Man, what would Jesus do? I mean, how would he respond to me? If I go up to him, is he going to reject me like everyone else does? He probably will. He's probably going to reject me. He's probably, you know what he's going to do? He's going to scream at the sight of me. They all do. Everyone does it. Because if you're that damaged, if you're this broken, if you're this hurt and injured, if you think you're this disgusting, if your whole life you've been rejected and thrown out and kicked to the curb and marginalized, you're going to think that no one else is going to care about you. Why would Jesus care about me? Why would this one guy care about me? No one else has. You'd rather not take the risk of being rejected again, right? Maybe. You'd rather not go through all of that to risk it again. I mean, can you imagine the amount of shame this guy must have had in his heart? Why put yourself through this? Why bring something up to the surface that's so shameful that I'm ashamed of this? This is my life. I hate it so much. This guy's probably not going to be able to help me anyways. Why even go there? But he does it. He says to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. See, a lot of us walk around with a lot of pain, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, right? We might not have leprosy. We might not have a skin disease that's so visible. Our struggle might not be as visible as something like that, something like leprosy. It might not be something that's up front like that. People might not be able to see it. We might not be cut off from the rest of society like the lepers were back then. But it's there. It's there. We all have our own form of leprosy. We all have something that weighs us down. Some of us have secret sins that we're ashamed of. Right? Some of us have health issues that we just don't want anyone to know about. It's personal. It's my business. Some of us have money problems. Some of us have marriages that are falling apart. Some of us have our relationships with our kids or their parents. They're disintegrating. Some of us were abused. Some of us are doing the abusing. Some of us have been cheated on. Some of us have been lied to. Some of us, maybe we've done the lying or the cheating ourselves. Maybe other people can't tell what's going on. We certainly don't let anyone else in on it, right? We don't tell people about it, but it's there. It's there lurking in us every time we come to church, every time we see people, it's there. You come to church and it's like, hey, how's it going? I'm good. Good. Everything's good. How are you? But deep inside, you're falling apart. It's this culture we've built up here in our churches. This how's it going culture. You never go deep. Meanwhile, these people are falling apart in our churches. And if you're not falling apart, maybe you're just ignoring it. You tell yourself, hey, it's not a big deal. Hoping that it goes away somehow. That over time it's going to go away. My problems are going to run away. You convince yourself that whatever you're struggling with will work itself out. But it never does. Why are you holding on to it all? Why do you do that? Why are you going through life all alone? You might have surrounded yourself with so many friends and so many people around you, but you never go deep. And it's in those deep part places where you actually need help to live this life. And the world tries to convince us that I make it on my own. I don't need anyone else. I can figure it out on my own. I just need me. But we don't. We got to realize, just like this leper, man, I can't do it on my own. Whatever my hurt is, whatever my struggle is, there's some things I just can't fix on my own. I need help. Now, look, some of us go through stuff like, I'm going to just pray about it. And the more I pray, the more I ask Jesus, he's going to help me. He's got to help me. I don't have to share with people. I just got to pray about it. And a lot of times we pray these kinds of prayers expecting God to just kind of magically make all our problems disappear. And the longer we think that God isn't helping, the more we start to question God, never realizing God is already helping you. He's already helping you. He has already sent you help. Because even though Jesus isn't physically here to reach out his hand and touch you and to heal you, God has placed you and me in a community of people who are filled with Jesus' Spirit. It's called the church. And you belong to it. And if you have been saved by the gospel, if the gospel has changed your life, you can honestly say that the gospel has changed your life. You belong to God's family, the church. Look around you here. Look at the people sitting around you. That's the church. Every single one of us, if we can honestly say that we know Jesus, every single one of us, we represent Jesus to one another because he dwells in us. We are clothed in him. Paul says in Galatians that if we are saved by Christ, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ lives in me. So that the life I live now is Christ living in me. So whenever I pray to ask Jesus for help, a lot of the times the help he sends is sitting right in front of you, right next to you, right behind you. But some of us may be asking, why can't I go it alone? Why can't I try to figure out myself? Why do I need to share my life with others? Because we're human, man. We're human. That's why. Because we need to care and to be cared for. Because we need to be loved. We need to love and to be loved. We need to know and to be known, right? That's just part of being human. Because the only way you can be cared for is that if other people know that you need to be cared for. We all long, we're human, we all long for deep significant relationship with other people. And the only way that can happen is if you let others deep into your life and they let you deep into theirs. That's the only way. But it's risky. It's risky. You need to be bare, you need to be vulnerable, you need to be naked sometimes. You need to let people see the bad, or the good, the bad, and the ugly that lurks deep inside all our hearts. Sometimes it can be painful. Sometimes it can hurt. But in the end, it's worth it, isn't it? The risk is worth it. This is what how we've been created. This is how we've been wired as humans, made in the image of God. But sometimes it's like we're intentionally like the lepers. We keep our distance. We put ourselves outside of the city, outside of society, on the fringes. We do this to ourselves. We put up these walls. We have all these different ways of deflecting because we don't want anyone to see who we really are. But listen, the only reason why the leper got healed was because he risked it all to come to Jesus and to say to Jesus, if you will, make me clean. Sometimes the only way we can find freedom from whatever it is that we're struggling with is to be willing to risk it all by saying to one another, man, can you help me? Can you help me? I'm struggling with this and I just need someone to walk with me through this, to pray with me. I've been living with this for so long. It's dragging me down. I'm falling apart. I need someone to give themselves to me because I can't do it on my own. And like the leper, we can turn to Jesus and he will make us clean. And a lot of the times, the way he makes us clean is through our church family, who's filled with people who are hurting and are struggling and are broken just like you are. What's keeping you from sharing your pain, your hurt, your sin with others, and allowing people deeper into your life? Is it pride? It's your pride. You don't want anyone else to know. You don't want people to look and see where you fail, where you fall short. I'm not willing to go there, man. I'm not willing to go there. I don't want people to see that part of me. Are you kidding me? What are people going to think of me? What are people going to think of me if they know this about me? And to press it down and keep it locked up. Listen, not one of us is better than anyone else. No one is more holy than anyone else. We are all sinners, but for the grace of God, who saves us in Christ and redeems us and makes us clean through no merit of our own. This means that we didn't earn anything. Any good that I am is not because I'm actually good. It's because Jesus is good and that Jesus lives in me and gives me his goodness. I'm no better than anyone else. And so for a church full of broken people, we're filled with people like this who know this, that I'm no better, what better place is it for us to open our lives up to people who know they're broken, but know they're loved at the same time? We're better places. We're a church full of broken people, and if we're afraid to share our hurt with people because we think they're better or they're more holy. Look, if anyone has ever made you feel that they're better or more holy, if anyone has ever made you feel that they're better or they're superior to you, if anyone's ever made you feel like they're good and you're not, and it's made you afraid to share your life with in front of them, and they're liars. They're liars. Any goodness that they have is Jesus' goodness and not their own. Right? There is no one better but Jesus. There is no one better. We're all in this together. And if we aren't willing to go deep and let others in deep, this could be the reason, very reason why we're stalled out in our faith, right? Could be the very reason why you're not growing. Because we're stuck fighting the same battles, struggling with the same things over and over again. And we're going it alone. But maybe you're missing an opportunity to let someone in who's able and willing to walk you through it. You might even conquer what it is you're facing, but at the very least, you'll gain a friend for the journey. So that's the give. We're talking about giving, the give and take of caring. That's the give. We need to be willing to be cared for. We need to be willing to take the risk and say, this is what I'm struggling with. Can you help me? So on one hand, we got to be willing to be cared for. On the other hand, we need to be willing to be the ones who do the caring. Look at Jesus' reaction here in verse 41. Look at Jesus' reaction. This is how Jesus responded to this leper who risked it all by coming to him for help. He says, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. So Jesus sees this pitiful man, and right away he knows he's a leper, right? He knows how this man has been treated his entire life. He knows how his brutal life, his life has been. He knows the pain and the suffering he has to go through and every moment of his life. And it's not just physical pain, it's mental anguish, it's relational suffering because he's cut off from everyone else, right? Right? And it says that Jesus is moved with pity. The Greek word that's used here is also used to describe deep anger. All right? And so he sees this man. It's like Jesus is angered by the suffering he's had to go through. It hurts him. He feels it in his gut. It's like he feels compassion for this man, but at the same time he's angered because that he lives in this world in which he has to go through any of this. And it angers him. And his first reaction is to reach out his hand and to touch him. Why? Jesus doesn't need to touch him to heal him, right? We all know that Jesus needs to do is to say a word and he's healed. So why does Jesus touch him? Why does Jesus touch him? Jesus touches him not because his body needs it to heal, but simply because his soul needs it. Jesus is reaching out simply because of love, compassion. See, Jesus isn't just fixing the problem. He's not just fixing the leprosy in the man. He's not just fixing the disease in the man. He's reaching out and touching him to care for all of him. Right? He's touching a man who's never touched them, had felt the touch of another human being for years and years and years. A man who's never been loved. He's only been rejected. This leprosy might have been the cause of it all, but it wasn't all of his suffering, right? Jesus is moved with compassion and love for this man, and it was this response of something that was happening deep within Jesus' heart. It was raw, it's natural. Let me love you. Let me care for you. You're clean. Notice the leper doesn't say, heal me. He says, make me clean. He says that because remember, for lepers, it isn't just all about the disease. It's not just about the physical illness. It's about being clean before God. It's about being clean before the community. It's about being clean physically. It's about its entire life. He knows it. He knows he needs it all, and Jesus gives it to him. Right? If you love someone genuinely, if you have compassion for someone, you're going to meet all their needs. When you truly care for someone, you're not just there to fix a specific problem. You're not just making yourself available to someone just to help them in a time of need. If you care for someone, you're going to be there for all of their life. You're going to be a friend in all occasions, in all seasons, good and bad, high and low. You're there to serve them in everything. Jesus isn't just caring for this man's leprosy. He's not just caring for this man who has leprosy. He's caring for this man. He's caring for him. He's caring for all of him. He sees all his needs and then he meets them. He acts out of deep love and compassion. And on top of this, he doesn't see this leper and say, man, someone should really do something about this guy. Someone should really care for this guy. He actually cares for him. He doesn't see this man's needs and think, someone else will take care of him. I'll just keep going. He goes out and cares for him. Right? The leper says to Jesus, if you will make me clean. And Jesus says, I will. I will. Would you? Would you be willing to love and to care? We see the needs of the person sitting next to you and go out of your way to meet them. Let's wrap this up because we're running short on time. There's a give and take in caring. There's a give and take. First, you got to be willing to put it out there and say, I need to be cared for. I'm broken. I'm dirty. I'm struggling. I need help. God surrounded me with people who are willing. You can't hold it in anymore. Because maybe that's the thing, that's the very thing that's keeping you from experiencing Jesus more fully. Maybe that's the thing that's keeping your faith stale and lifeless. In my own life, in my own struggle with sin, I was never able to find freedom from it until I found some fellow Christians who I trusted would walk with me through it. Brothers who would challenge me. Brothers who would go through the same thing. Brothers who would challenge me and hold me accountable. You could live years struggling with the same sins, going it alone, but it makes all the difference in the world to be willing to share your burden with other Christians, to have them pray for you and have them carry some of the load and help you walk in freedom. What are you holding back? I'm not saying to come up here and share all the bugs in your closet here. But who around you is that person or these people who care for you? What's your pride keeping you from giving up to Jesus? James 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you can be healed. It's about your healing. It's not just about being vulnerable and naked. It's not just about exposing and coming clean with things. It's about being healed and living in freedom. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? Next, not only do you need to be willing to be cared for, you need to be willing to do the caring. We all know this. We all know this, but how many of us actually go out of our way to do it, to care? How many of us see the needs but do nothing about it? How many of us see the needs but we just wait for other people to step in and do it because someone's going to take care of it anyways? Don't do that. Don't do that. But if someone does allow you to go deep into their life, if someone does ask you to help, be trustworthy. Don't be a gossip. Don't be judgmental. Never think you're better than anyone else. Look at the plank in your own eye before you pick out the speck in the other person's eye. You're no different but for the grace of God. There is no sin that is too big that won't be forgiven. There's nothing that's too small that Jesus doesn't care for. So, you know, at one point we were that leper. We were that leper who was cut off and discarded and rejected and cast aside. Before we knew Jesus, we were the ones who were unclean and needed to be cleansed. We were the ones who Jesus looked at with compassion and love and says to us, I will be cleansed. My friends, don't pass up the opportunity to be able to do that for someone else. To care as Jesus did. God, open our eyes to see the needs out there. Give us the hearts to care enough to do something about it and the strength to be able to do it. Let's pray. Can we just stand together? We're just going to close our time together as well.